Why don't you lift your hands to the Most High God and begin to bless His holy name? Give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him adoration. Worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Bless His holy name. He's worthy to be praised, He's worthy to be adored. Magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Worship Him. Give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him adoration. He's the Most High God. And He deserves our praise, He deserves our worship. Give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him adoration. Bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. Thank you, Father. We worship You. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name, we worship. Now I want you to lift your voice to Him and say, Father, whatever prayer I pray here today, before the sun rises, let it become a testimony. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Whatever prayer I may pray here this very night, before the sun rises, O Lord, let it become a testimony. Let it become a testimony. Grant my request tonight, Lord. Whatever prayer I pray here tonight, before the sun rises in the morning, let it become a testimony. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails. Who never fails. Who never fails. Forevermore, hallelujah, I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails. I have a God who never fails. Who never fails. Who never fails. Amen. Jesus never fails. Amen. Jesus never fails. Amen. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Forevermore, hallelujah, amen. Jesus never fails. Amen. Jesus never fails. Amen. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Forever. Father Almighty God, we bless your name. Because we know we have a God who can never, never fail. A God who answers prayers. A God who speaks and it is done. The unchangeable changer himself. Glory be to your holy name, Lord. Please accept our worship in Jesus' name. We want to thank you for what you did on Monday. Thank you for what you did on Tuesday. Thank you for what you did yesterday. And thank you for what you are going to do again tonight. Please accept our worship in Jesus' name. Tomorrow is in your hand, O Lord. Like we have always done, like never before, glorify your name again. We commit every one of your children, those who are here, those who are at the old arena, those at all the various viewing centers, and those who are watching all over the world on the internet, and those listening by radio and television. Every prayer we pray tonight, before the sun rises, change to a testimony. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Well, let somebody shout hallelujah. Shake hands with one or two people and tell them God will answer your prayers today. And then you may please be seated. Now, those of you in the old arena, will you please show those people in the old arena? Show them. All right. I can see that you can hear me. Maybe if you shout hallelujah loud enough, I might be able to hear. Okay, so good. So we are together then. Praise the Lord. Today, God added to us eight babies. Two boys and six girls. I think the girls miss business this time. So we now have a total of 28 babies born, 12 boys, 16 girls. Let the girls shout, praise the Lord. And let the boys shout, hallelujah. Don't worry, boys. By this time of tomorrow, you will have equalized. When you are coming tomorrow, and if I were you, I would come early to find a seat. It would be a good idea if you can come with three white handkerchiefs, because what God wants to do tomorrow, He has never done before. If you don't have the money to buy three handkerchiefs, buy one and cut them into three. It's going to be a great night in Jesus' name. I want to thank God once again for all the great men of God who had already spoken tonight. Prophet Abiera, we thank you very much, sir. Bishop Mike Okonkwo, thank you for speaking to us again. Dr. Otabio, we give God the glory for your life. And Bishop Bismarck, we give God the glory that we are able to come and minister to us. The Lord will bless all your ministries, and you will work stronger and stronger in the Lord in Jesus' name. Tonight, I have very little time to talk to you about victorious prayers. Victorious prayers. When we were younger, there's a song we sing. I don't hear it often now, but since we're here to sing songs of victory, I think we'll sing the song before I go on. He says, I won't let go. I won't let go. I have Jesus. I won't let go. How many of you know the song? Lord, have mercy on you. Well, it's very simple. I won't let go. I won't let go. I have Jesus. I won't let go. You want to try? 3, 4. Again. So let me hear the girls alone. The boys. Together. It's a song of determination. It's a song that says, and you will hear about that later on, I have my hold on Jesus Christ. I'm not going to let him go unless he blesses me. I won't let go. I have Jesus. I won't let go. Let's sing it together and sing it as warriors, as militants, as someone who is determined. I won't let go. I won't let go. I have Jesus. I won't let go. I won't let go. I won't let go. I have Jesus. I won't let go. I won't let go. I won't let go. I have Jesus. I won't let go. This time now, don't sing it for singing's sake. Let God himself hear you. Because I don't know about you, I am not leaving here tonight without answers to my prayers. Is anybody like that in the house? Okay, so you put your hands together as you sing it. I won't let go. I won't let go. I have Jesus. I won't let go. I won't let go. I won't let go. I have Jesus. I won't let go. I won't let go. I won't let go. I have Jesus. I won't let go. I won't let go. I won't let go. I have Jesus. I won't let go.
More times.
I won't let go. I won't let go. I have Jesus.
One more.
I won't let go. I won't let go. I have Jesus. I won't let go.
Let me hear you shout hallelujah.
Before you leave this place tonight, you will testify. First Kings chapter 8. God bless you. You may be seated.
First Kings chapter 8. I'm reading from verse 36 to 39. First Kings chapter 8, from verse 36 to 39. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. As we pray tonight, the fire of God is going to fall. And the whole world will know we are serving the living God. The guarantee that God will answer our prayers is based or rooted on His constancy. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8. Hebrews 13 verse 8. Bible says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. There's nothing called the days of miracles. Or people will say the days of miracles are past. What we have is the God of miracles. And He doesn't change. If we meet His conditions, He will surely answer our prayers. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 8, Matthew 7, verse 7 to 8, the Bible says, ask, and you shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. He said, if you ask, anyone at all who could ask will receive. Anyone who will seek will find. And anyone who will knock, to him will the door be opened. In other words, if you don't ask, you don't get. But if you ask, you get. Provided you don't ask amiss. James chapter 4 verse 3. James 4 3 says some people asked and they did not receive because they asked amiss. I received two letters the same day. I was attracted to these two letters because they were written by two women and both of them had the same surname. When I read the first one, it was a woman asking me to pray. So, Pastor Adibuye, we are fired that when you pray, God answers by fire. My daughter-in-law is making my life terrible. Pray that your God will kill her. True story. I put the letter aside. I pick the second one. It will interest you to know it is from the daughter-in-law. And her request was very similar. My mother-in-law is making life miserable for me. Pray that God will kill her. Of course, God didn't answer such prayers. And of course, I didn't even bother to pray. When you ask amiss, He will not answer. Seek, and you will find. Provided you seek, while He may be found. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He may be near, while He's near. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Provided you know how to do the knocking, and how to answer the one who is on the other side of the door. Because when you knock at any door, the fellow on the other side is going to ask you, and who is that, please? In Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10, when the Bible says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the king, that the King of glory might come in, the answer came from the other side of the gate of the door. And who is this King of glory? Who are you, please? Who are you, the one knocking? And then the answer came. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And they asked the question a second time to find out who is knocking. Until it told them, it's the commander-in-chief of all the hosts. When you meet the conditions of the Almighty God, you know how to ask, so that you don't ask amiss, you know how to seek, and you know how to knock, the door will be opened to you. So how do I make sure I do not ask amiss? Because I'm believing God for you that from now on, anytime you pray, God will answer you. The Bible encourages us that if we want to pray in order not to ask amiss, He said we should let the Holy Spirit do the praying. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. Romans 8, 26 to 27. He said we don't even know how to pray. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will help our infirmity. If you allow the Holy Spirit to do the praying, He will pray according to the will of God. And the answer will be guaranteed. How do I seek? How do I know He's near? When I'm trying to seek. I think I've told you that one before, during this Congress. I don't have to look for God. If I praise Him, if I worship Him, He Himself will seek me out. Like He said in John chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. John 4, 23 to 24. I don't have to go seeking for Him. All I need to do is worship Him in spirit and in truth. He is seeking for such.
So I don't begin my prayer by bombarding him with questions and requests. I seek him by worshiping him, praising him, then he will draw near. Some of you will remember what I told you about what happened years ago when we were establishing the church in Abuja. We're going to have a 3-day program at Sheraton Hotel to start the church. I was staying in one of the rooms in the hotel and I was crying to God, please Lord, tonight perform miracles, save souls, do this. When suddenly I heard him say, son, shut up. Of course I was glad that he even asked me to shut up. It means he had heard me. Do this for me. Do that for me. Am I your houseboy? The ones I've done for you, how much thanks have you given me? Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm very grateful. He said, no. For the 3 days you are going to be here, I don't want to hear any request. Just keep on praising me. I tried. It was difficult, as I'm sure it might be with you too. Oh, Father Almighty, I want to thank you for all you have done. Glory be to your holy name, etc., etc. But don't forget this evening. And he said, no, back to thanking. Towards the end of the 3rd day, he spoke again. Now go back home. Tell the elders to go and begin to strengthen the foundations of the church. Because what we have seen thus far is addition. Now you are going to begin to see multiplication. I thank the Almighty God because I followed this instruction. And today, only last week or the week before, we had a Holy Ghost service in Abuja. The crowd that gathered there was close to 500,000 people because he said it will multiply. I want you to begin an attitude of worshiping him first so that he will draw near you. And then it will be easy to seek and to find. Do I hear somebody shout hallelujah tonight? How do I knock correctly? If I seek and I finally find the door and I want to knock, how do I knock correctly? The best way to knock at the door of God is to knock in the name of the door himself. And Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verses 7 and 9, John 10, 7 and 9, he said, I am the door. You come in through me, all will be well. That's why when we pray in the name of Jesus. Who is knocking? We are knocking in the name of Jesus because he himself is the door. So you know how to ask through the Holy Spirit. You know how to draw him near by praising him. And then, of course, you pray in the name of Jesus. So I'm going to give you, as quickly as I can, 10 reasons why I am sure that from tonight onward, every prayer you pray will receive a victorious answer. Number one, come to him as a child of God. Be sure that you know, that you know, that you know you are a child of God. If you are not sure, Make assurance doubly sure tonight. Why? Psalm 65 verse 2 says, unto thee that heareth prayer shall all flesh come. He hears prayers. Flesh will come to him. I've come to him tonight. He will hear me. Provided, according to Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, that says, the hand of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. If there is sin between you and God, you call, he say he won't hear. So come to him washed in the blood of the Lamb. Come to him as a true child of God. Then you have a guarantee that he will hear you. Number two, why I'm sure he will hear and he will answer tonight, is that he does not lie. Numbers 23 verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Once he has spoken concerning anything, he will do it. And what was it he said? Jeremiah 33 verse 3, he said, if you call on me in the day of trouble, I will answer you. You might have heard people say, if you call on him, he may say yes, or he may say no, or he may say wait a little. Next time you hear that, ask them to show you where it is written in the Bible. Because what is written is, you call on me, I will answer you. Number three, where I'm sure he will answer you tonight, is that according to the text that I read to you, he has answered by fire before. And because he does not change, he will answer by fire again. 1 Kings chapter 18, 36 to 39. 1 Kings 18, 36 to 39. Elijah cried unto him, and fire fell. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Malachi 3, verse 6, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. He answered Elijah by fire on Mount Carmel. But then on another occasion, in 2 Kings chapter 1, from verse 9 to 12, 2 Kings 1, 9 to 12, when a king sent some soldiers to go and arrest Elijah, Elijah called down fire again. The second time, he called the fire down again. Three occasions when one single man cried to God for fire to fall, and the fire fell. Because he does not change. If he had ever answered prayers before, and from the testimonies we have been hearing since Monday, yes, he is answering prayers. If he had ever answered prayers before, he will answer prayers again. And I believe that there is at least someone here tonight whose prayer God will answer by fire. Number four is that there is no request coming from you that God will say, this is too hard. No request of yours will he consider to be too hard. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. Jeremiah 32, verse 27, he said, behold, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Luke 1, 37, he said, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Joshua chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. Joshua 10, 12 to 13. Joshua said to the Almighty God, I am fighting your battles. The sun is about to set. If the sun should set now, the enemies will escape. I am asking now that the sun will stay where it is and the moon should remain where it is. And God granted the request. Someone may tell you that's in the Old Testament. I want to assure you, he's still doing the same today. Years ago, I was invited to Colorado in America in January. And I thank God that Bishop Mike was there too. He was invited. I don't like cold weather. I don't like it at all. That's why God made me a Nigerian. I don't like cold weather at all. So I pity those who want to run away from this beautiful weather where it is summer all year long and they want to go into. Congratulations. But I had to go to this meeting. It was very important. So I said to my father, I'm going to Colorado. While I am there, suspend winter. I have a witness here today. Throughout the days I was there, people were wearing t-shirts in January. He pushed away the winter, brought in summer. I boarded the plane at 5 p.m. to travel back to Nigeria. 2 hours after I left, all the snow that had been hanging in the air began to fall. There is a God here tonight. No matter how hard what you ask for, he will grant your request. Number 5, there's no request, or there are no requests of yours that can be considered too many. Not too hard, not too many. Why? Genesis 17 verse 1. Genesis 17 verse 1 says, his name is Jehovah El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God, the God who is more than enough. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Ephesians 3, verse 20, said, is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. It doesn't matter how many things you ask him for. He's more than sufficient to grant your request. As a matter of fact, Bible scholars tell us that when Jesus Christ said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it, he was saying, if you ask for something that I don't have, I will create it. That's how powerful he is. If you ask me for something,
If you can think of something that I forgot when I was making the world and the heaven and the earth, ask for something I have never dreamt of. I create it for you. That's his promise. Now, you can never ask for too much. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 6 to 12, 2 Chronicles 1, 6 to 12, Solomon asked for just wisdom and understanding. And God said, is that all? He said, that's all. He said, all right. The things you did not ask for, I will add. He said, I will now give you wealth. I will now give you long life. I will now give you peace. The young boy said, all I'm asking for is wisdom and understanding. And I've told you about an uncle of mine of blessed memory. He was a great chief, very wealthy. You go to him and ask and say, uncle, please, I need 1,000 naira. He will tell you, I don't have. Ah, uncle, what do you mean? He said, I don't have. Uncle, please give me 10,000 naira. He said, I don't have. Don't worry me. Uncle, give me 100,000. He said, hey, now you are talking. How can you be insulting me, asking for 1,000 naira? Don't you know who I am? One day we got this uncle to visit one of our schools in my village. Please, uncle, this high school, we want you to help us build a boys' hostel. He said, good. Is that all? What about the girls? Do they have an hostel? No. Okay, add it to that. What about assembly hall? We don't have, add it to that. Then he looked at the principal, and you, principal, have you a house? The principal said, no. He said, add it to that. There's somebody here tonight. God is going to visit you. And whatever you ask him, he's going to say, is that all? Number six. My request cannot be considered too late. You cannot go to God and hear him say to you, you asked me too late. In John 11, you can read from verse 20 to 44, John 11, verse 20 to 44, the sisters of Lazarus said, if only you had come early, our brother would not have died. But by now, it's too late. Almighty God said, all I ask you to do is believe, and you will see the glory of God. You can't ask anything too late from the one whose name is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Nothing is ever too late with him. I know there might be some of you who would think that how I wish I had asked last year. But now it's too late. I have good news for you. What you thought was too late will become now in Jesus' name. When I gained admission to do master's degree at the University of Lagos, I applied for the federal scholarship. They didn't even call me for interview, probably because I knew nobody. I was in my second year when I met an old friend. This old friend we met while I was doing sports.
I met him at the campus. How are you? And we greeted. What are you? Where are you now? I said, oh, I'm doing my master's here. And you? He said, I'm working with the Federal Ministry of Education. Oh, you are the people that I applied to for scholarship, and you didn't even call me for interview. He said, you applied? I said, yes. They didn't invite you for an interview? I said, no. He said, all right. You hear from me next week. I thought that next week I would get a letter inviting me for another interview, because that was last year. When I got the letter, it was to tell me that the scholarship had been awarded and backdated to the time I applied. I have somebody here today. Even the miracles you thought you have already lost, God is going to backdate your miracle to that time. Seventh reason why I'm sure God is going to answer your prayer tonight does not even depend on you at all. It depends on Him. He is good. Psalm 107 verse 1. Psalm 107 verse 1 says, praise the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. What is the meaning of good? What do we mean when we say somebody is good? We mean that fellow is ready to help. Good people are always willing to help you. That's why David said in Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, he said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. He is good. He's able to help, and he's willing to help. How do we know he's willing to help? He said so in Isaiah 41, verse 10 to 13. Isaiah 41, 10 to 13. He said, again and again, I will help you. I will help you. Occasionally, on this journey, I found myself in tight corners. And there's only one fellow to cry to for help. I've said it before, if a member of the congregation has a problem, he runs to the pastor. The pastor has a problem, he runs to the general overseer. When the general overseer has a problem, to whom will he run? And I want to guarantee you tonight, if you stop running to man and you continue to run to God, you get your answer faster. And I'll give you just one little testimony. Again, when I was doing my master's degree, as soon as I got the scholarship, I calculated all I needed to do my running around, and I knew I would be needing almost just 50 naira. Naira was powerful in those days, to bind my thesis. So I finished my thesis. I submitted it to the library where they would do the binding. I had made sure that I left 50 naira with the department, that when I need it, I will collect it. A day when I must submit, the binding had been done. The library will not release the book to me unless I pay the 50 naira. I went to my head of department, sir, I need to collect the balance of my scholarship so that I can go and collect my tissues that have been bound. He looked at me and said, the scholarship is not for binding books. Ah, how will I prove I've done the job if I don't present this? They say, I'm not giving you the money. Ah. And I'm talking of the days when 50 naira was 50 naira. And as a student, I had nothing. And I must submit this thesis tomorrow. I sat down in my room. Thank God by then, I know how to pray. And my prayer was simple. God, help me. Let me hear somebody shout, God, help me. Because I didn't know what to do. I had nowhere to go. I sat in my room. God, help me. At midnight, there was a knock at the door. I opened the door. It was an old friend of mine. We used to be very good friends until he borrowed money from me and then disappeared. Ah, long time no see, he said, yeah. Why are you here so late in the night? He said, I couldn't sleep. I remember I owe you. I have come to pay 50 naira. The one that God will send to help you. The one who can help you, who refused to help you. He won't be able to sleep again. He sent help to me at midnight. He will send help to you. Many a times we pray long prayers. Many a times all we needed to do is say, Lord, help me. Do I hear somebody say that once more time? Number 8. Well, I'm sure he will answer your prayers tonight. Is that it's not just good, it's merciful. The same Psalm 107 verse 1. Psalm 107 verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4. Ephesians 2 verse 4 says, he is rich in mercy. When God wants to display his wealth, he displays mercy. And any time he hears somebody crying to him for mercy, he can't resist. In Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52, Mark 10, 46 to 52, that was the cry of Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. In Luke chapter 17, verse 12 to 19, Luke 17, verse 12 to 19, there were 10 lepers. Their cry to him was, have mercy on us. Some of you will remember, I've told you this story before, one of our Bible study leaders, young man, highly talented, knew the scriptures. So whenever there's a need to teach married women and married men, his general overseer will give him the assignment. And he will teach beautifully. And he will say, for example, when your wife is pregnant and the time for delivery comes, make sure you bind all the bindables and loose all the loosables and command the child to come. Then he got married. His wife became pregnant. The time of delivery came. He bound all the devils in the world. He loosed all the angels in heaven. He commanded the baby to come. The baby didn't come.
He quoted all the scriptures he knew. The baby refused to come. First day, second day, third day. The third day, he ran to the back of his house, fell on his face, and cried to God and said, God, just be merciful unto me. Before he returned, the baby has come. Do I hear somebody today say, Lord, have mercy on me? Reason number 9, why I'm sure you will answer someone tonight, is that if you persist, if you refuse to let him rest, he will grant your request. Oh, I know there are Bible scholars who disagree with me on that. Ask, believe, you receive, you have. That's true. So they say, just pray once and then wait for the answer. The problem is, when he says, ask, believe, you receive, you have, he didn't tell you the time that will lapse between asking and receiving. And many of us have lost our miracles because we let go just before the miracle arrived. And he's the one who said in John 16 verse 24, John 16 verse 24, ask till your joy be full. Hold on till your joy be full. It is written, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17, he said, pray without ceasing. Keep asking. Genesis 32 verse 24 to 29. Genesis 32 verse 24 to 29. The Bible tells us, Jacob was returning home. He learned that Esau was coming with 400 men to meet him. He knew what that meant. Tomorrow morning, by the time I meet my brother that I've cheated in the past, death comes. That night, the Bible said Jacob had a wrestling match in prayer. When the one he was wrestling with said, let me go because the day is breaking. What did he say? I will not let you go until you have blessed me. I have discovered that the reason many of us pray shallow prayers is because the matter is not serious enough. When you know that unless God shows up, you are done for, you will learn how to pray and persist. I've told you the story before. We were going to have a convention. And as usual, there were volunteers who came from the branches to come and clean the camp and get it ready for convention. And I was, as usual, overseeing everything, making sure everything is in order. And on this particular occasion, I had been going from morning till night. By the time I got home, I was very tired. I told my wife, call the children together, let us pray, I'm tired. I want to sleep. And we prayed the kind of prayer that you pray when you are tired. God, thank you for today, see you tomorrow. My wife said, "Is this not the way we do?" I said, "I'm the husband in this place. We have prayed. Good night." So I went and I lay on my bed. I was so tired, I couldn't even remove my clothes. As soon as I hit the bed, I was gone. About 15 minutes later, she came knocking at the door. When I woke up, "Woman, what's the problem?" "I told you I am tired," he said. "One of the volunteers who came to help you clean up the camp is dead. And is the one from your village." What do you think happened to the sleep? So I got up quickly. I ran to the place, the dormitory where these people were sleeping, and it was an elderly woman, dead. I sent for the prayer warriors. "Everybody come and join me, pray." And we began to pray. We prayed in the spirit, we prayed with understanding. We bound, we loosed, she remained cold. Suddenly God spoke to me. He will speak to somebody here tonight. I said, "Son." "Yes, Lord." "I thought you say you are tired." "I'm not tired at all." He said, "Send the prayer warriors away. It's you I want to talk to." "Send the prayer warriors away. I want to talk to you. As you say, you are tired. So we have to wake you up." I sent the prayer warriors away, and while God and I were discussing, the woman came back to life. You stop praying only because you think there is a way, another way out. You have plan B. When you have no other plan, when there is no other help other than God, you will pray until you get your result. And you know what? Like I told you last month, it might be just one more shout of praise. It might be one more cry for help that God is waiting for. And then your breakthrough will come. So somebody is... So somebody is going to hold on to God tonight and say, "I'm not letting you go until you answer me." And I can assure you, if you hold on to him fast enough, if you refuse to let go, he will answer. I had this testimony when I was a very young Christian. It's one of the testimonies that God used tremendously to build up my faith. A boy had his two legs amputated. And then he heard that a great evangelist was coming to town. And something within him told him, "During this program, I will get my two legs back." And he went and bought two pairs of shoes. And each day, as the crusade was on, he would come. He rolled him in with his shoes in his hand. First day, nothing happened. Of course, what he was asking for is a very difficult thing. Legs that have been cut off to grow again. I told you earlier on, you can't ask for something too hard from God. Second day, nothing happened. Third day, I think it was the fourth day or the fifth day, all of a sudden, while eyes are closed and people were praying, two legs came. Don't let anybody tell you that your own is too difficult for God. There is nothing too hard for him to do. Finally, so that we can have some time in prayer. Number 10. God knows that if he does something new in your life, you will sing him a new song. He knows that. He knows that if he will do something the world had never seen before in your life, at least you will sing a new song. In Exodus 14, verse 21 to 28, Exodus 14, verse 21 to 28, he opened the Red Sea for Moses and the children of Israel. Up to that moment, I have not read that Moses knew how to sing. But by the following morning, in Exodus 15, verse 1 to 11, Exodus 15, verse 1 to 11, when Moses looked back and all the enemies that the children of Israel saw the night before were already gone, he sang a song to the Almighty God. I'm standing on the promise of my Father in heaven to decree to somebody that all the enemies, all the problems that you have seen up to this moment, by the time the sun rises tomorrow, you will see them no more. And then you will be able to sing a song of victory. In a moment, I'm going to give you some time to pray. But like I said at the very beginning, if you are going to come to God at all, and you want him to hear you, you want him to answer you, you must come to him as a true child of God. Your sins must have been washed away with his blood. So if you are here and you are not absolutely sure of your salvation, before I say 10, come and stand before me. Those of you in the old arena, if you want to give your life to Jesus, go straight and stand before the altar. There will be men of God there to attend to you. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, you don't want any sin to stand between you and the answer to your prayers tonight, come now as I begin to count. One. Two. Three. I know some of you are quite far away, so you have to move a little fast in order to get here in time. Four. It's only your sin that can stand between you and the answer to your prayers. But if you come to Jesus, his blood will wash away all your sins, and then the barrier between you and God will be gone. Four. Five. Six. 7. Eight. Nine. Now all of you are already in front, and those of you who are on the way, cry to God now and ask him to please save your soul and wash away your sins with his powerful blood. Ask him to please give you a brand new beginning. Promise him that you will serve him from this moment onward, that you will no longer serve Satan. Ask him to please save your soul tonight. And the rest of us, will you please stretch your hands towards these people and intercede for them. Pray that the one who saved your soul will save their own souls also. Let's pray for them for just 1 minute. And those of you who are still on the way, you have to move faster because I'm about to pray for salvation. And let the counselors move in very quickly and attend to these people after the prayer. Let's pray for them for just 1 more minute and pray that the Almighty God will save the souls of all those who have come. And those of you on the way, you have to move a little faster so that you'll be here before I finish praying for salvation. Thank you, Father. Keep coming, keep coming. Don't stop by the way. Just keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Get here before I finish praying, and it will be okay. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. My Lord and my Savior, I just want to thank you. I want to give you all glory and honor for your word. And I want to thank you because I know that you definitely do answer prayers. Now, these people have come to you. Please receive them in Jesus' name. Save their souls, O Lord. Let your blood wash away their sins. I am praying, Lord God Almighty, that today you will write their names in the book of life. You will receive them into the family of God. And from now on, anytime they call on you, please answer them by fire. And let them serve you till the end. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Now, those of you in front, let me hear you shout hallelujah. I want to assure you that from now on, by the grace of God, I'll be praying for you. So I need your names, your address, and your prayer request. And there are counselors there who will give you cards, which I want you to fill within 2 minutes. And give it back to them and go back to your seat. We'll wait for you to finish that before we proceed. But please do it very fast. God bless you.
write down the following prayer points. Very few. You have only 10 minutes to present them to God here. You can continue the rest on your way home. The first point, you just want to praise God. Praise Him till you feel Him drawing near to you. Out of the 10 minutes, make sure you spend at least 6 or 7 of the minutes praising Him, thanking Him for what He's done in the past. The second prayer point, we're going to ask God, please have mercy on me. Father, please just have mercy on me. That's mercy, mercy, Lord. And the third prayer point, we're going to say, Father, help me. Help me. I have no other helper but you. Help me. You can do what no doctors can do. You can do what no helper else in the world can do. Please, Father, help me. And then for whatever few seconds you have left, you tell Him exactly what you want Him to do for you. So you praise Him. You ask Him for mercy. You ask Him for help. And then you tell Him your specific request. The altar is open. You have 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, I will join my prayer, my faith with yours. And we'll cry to God together. And I trust my Father and my God. By the time the sun rises, we will be singing songs of victory. So let's go before Him. As usual, if we want to sit, you are welcome. If you want to stand, you are welcome. If you want to lie before Him, you are welcome. But just go ahead now and begin to cry to the Almighty God. Praise Him for at least 6 minutes before you begin to ask for mercy, for help, and then telling Him exactly what you want Him to do for you. Let's go ahead now. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. The one who made heaven and earth, the God of all flesh, the one with whom nothing is too difficult, we answer your prayers. This very night, he will show you mercy. He will send help to you. From the east, he will send help to you. From the west, he will send help to you. From the north, he will send help to you. From the south, he will send help to you. From heaven above, he will send help to you. The one who had always helped me when I find myself in tight corners, he will help you also. If there's anyone that he has commanded to help you and they are holding it back, he will visit them tonight. If it's only a dream that he has to send to them to frighten them so that by tomorrow they'll be looking for you, he will send the dream tonight. When the one who is supposed to be the link between Joseph and Pharaoh forgot him, God sent two dreams to Pharaoh himself. This very night, those who will help your destiny, God will visit them. He will help you. I said, God will help you. The Almighty God will help you. By the time the sun rises, you will sing the song of victory. And you will never forget tonight. So shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. If you believe he had heard you and the answer has come, let me hear you shout hallelujah. God bless you. See you tomorrow.